Rusty Quill Presents Chapter and Multiverse. Welcome back to the Betwixt and Between, old chum. It's always a pleasure. Oh, do remind me to get you some of our new bar snacks. The quantum scratchings are particularly Moorish. But before I do, I must tell you all about our young hero's most recent adventures. Returning to the Grey Box after visiting his mysterious mentor, Aquila, Joseph joined his teammates to plan their next move. Their goal was to track down Adib's friend-turned-nemesis, Poltergeist, once and for all. And find out more about his connection to UTBC.
Hello, and welcome back to Chapter and Multiverse, the actual play podcast where we explore the same city across multiple parallel universes. I am your game master, Maddie Searle. My pronouns are she, her. And today we are playing our campaign of Masks, A New Generation, which is designed by Brendan Conway and allows players to take on the role of young superheroes. But before we go any further, I must introduce our wonderful and talented players. Could you please let me know your name and pronouns and your character's name and pronouns, starting with Ahmed?
Hello, I'm Ahmed Al-Jabri, and as always, I am stoked to be here. I'm playing Adib bin Yaslam, aka The Turban. Adib's pronouns are he and him.
Hi, I'm Lydia Nicholas, pronouns they, she, and I am playing Minnie Smithson, who is pretty stoked to be here too. She's more of a stoked kind of person. Anyway, she uses she, her.
Hey, I am Laurie Ann Davis, and I am playing Bloday with Morgan. Both of us go by she, her, aka Siphon.
Hi there, I'm Pip Gladwin, and I'll be playing Joseph Teller, aka Zenith, and we're both he, him.
Lovely. All right. So last we left off, you were deep in the UTBC headquarters trying to gather intel on their connection to Poltergeist, the Green Needle, and the supposed pilot program of gathering supervillains for some purpose. Adib was in the server room. Morgan was chatting to Thomas, the annoying fitness TikTok fan. And Minnie just stormed right up to floor 7 to chat to the CTO or Kutu.
Storming sounds like it was a lot more of a deliberate, aggressive move, whereas Minnie genuinely thought that she could become like a technical intern and it would fulfill many of her objectives in terms of learning about Earth and journalism.
Consolidate her 3 jobs into one.
Yeah, like she's got so many jobs.
What's another job between friends? So yeah, as Minnie entered, she realized that Fiona knew who she was and that she wasn't going to get much information out of her. So Zenith came to the rescue through the vents and set off a sprinkler, and Minnie used her amazing density and light powers to bamboozle the security guards, and they escaped after a couple of mishaps through a broken window and into the stealth jet. Meanwhile, Adib had a bit of a mishap of his own with absorbing everyone's clothes and getting showered on by the sprinklers, but Morgan managed to carry him to safety. And they went back to the Grey Box to recharge while Joseph slipped out to talk to his mentor, Aquila, back at her headquarters in the eerie, a similarly grey, bland box. And she actually apologized for not keeping on top of things and not realizing that UTBC was not all they seemed. Now we pick up with Joseph. Are you heading back to the Grey Box after your little meeting with Aquila?
Yes, I'll head back.
Nice. It is probably, I would say, around 6:30, 7 p.m. at this point. So you've got a couple more hours before the 10:30 heist that Poltergeist is planning at Chapter Central Hospital. Mm-hmm. And then the gig that Amal is doing at a bar at 11 is also happening tonight.
If everyone's okay with this, Joseph finds us all eating the snacks that Adib and Morgan want to get.
Nice. What did you go for in the end?
Minnie is dipping deep fried tofu in ketchup and mayo.
Excellent.
A smorgasbord of snacks. Because we didn't know what Joseph wanted, so just got a load of different things.
So yeah, Joseph, you come in to a smorgasbord of snacks. What is your reaction? And do you explain your absence to your colleagues/friends? your human friends.
Absolutely not.
I mean, Morgan would be like, oh, hey, yeah, we got loads of stuff, but I couldn't find you, so...
Yeah, that's okay. I'll grab something. And I'll sit down on a vacant, uncomfortable-looking chair slash sofa thing. And, yeah, I grab something.
If you accidentally take some of the stuff that Minnie's got in front of her... Mm-hmm. It will just be, like, it works, but it's strange, you know?
I think I definitely look at the stuff you have in front of you and then take something else.
It's just like, why don't people put jam, ketchup, and tofu together? That is what I want to know.
Oh, no,
that is what I want to know.
Yeah, maybe there's some pastries, maybe there's some cannoli, maybe there's some very arty-farty vegan crisps. Who knows?
Vegan crisps for me, please. The greyest food you just described.
I'm going to say that Minnie asks how Joseph is, and because she's been talking to her mum and thinking about mind powers, accidentally does some telepathy.
Yes, Minnie!
Where did you go? Are you okay? I could roll Unleash Your Powers. There's a, like, doubling. Whatever you say, there's a kind of weird doubling for Minnie of, we'll see whether it succeeds.
I like this.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, instinctively, I think my verbal response is, I just had something I needed to take care of. Nothing important.
So I rolled 6 plus 1 is 7. So it's a success, but unstable, if I'm correct?
Yes.
Which is kind of perfect, because that's exactly what I was going for. Like, it probably would have stunned Minnie if she got, like, a full idea of what was happening. But, like, in an unstable, unsure telepathy incident, can you let GM's decision how much info Minnie gets?
Yeah, I think you probably get a pretty decent emotional read. You probably don't get any specific thoughts or any words, but you probably get to use the eternally helpful word, a vibe, off of Zenith. What kind of vibe is Zenith giving off right now?
I mean, it's not too different from his usual one, to be honest. For Minnie, I think it would be that he's been given new orders. I think the vibe here is like, oh, okay, confirmation that this person is being run by someone else, effectively.
A vague sense, maybe, of Aquila's presence, but nothing as clear as a face. Like, the emotional model of Aquila that Joseph has.
It's a tall, grey shape.
With lots of complicated, like, resentment and awe and, like, love, but also fear. I guess, like, all the emotions, but not the specifics. Is that the vibe?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what you get. Do I? I'm guessing I don't. I have no idea that this has happened.
No, but Minnie narrows her eyes.
I kind of narrow my eyes back at you.
Morgan slowly reaches between you to take a Snickers bar.
We're just glaring at each other.
Yeah, there's like, there's tension here. What kind of tension is it? Who knows?
So, yeah, your next port of call is the hospital, if that is indeed your plan. So are you going to do any prep beforehand? Because you could try and find Poltergeist before he even hits the hospital, or you could just round him off there. Because you do have information from the vision of the door number 12 and the rough district that that door might be in.
I think this is an Adib decision.
I think we need to talk to Adib about Lucas.
How will you bring it up?
What do you want to do about Poltergeist? You want to wait? Try and intercept him at the hospital? Or do you want to, you know where he lives, right?
Yeah, but he's not there.
I don't know if I mentioned before, it was all a bit much, but I did actually see how he's getting to the hospital, because I literally saw the Plan My Route app that he was using. So I know the train, bus, tram, insert correct mode of transport that he'll be using. We could meet him at the start.
What if there are people around? People are going to get hurt.
Well, yeah, as Zenith said, there'll be people in the hospital. I mean...
potentially more vulnerable.
Yeah, we shouldn't wait. We should just go find him. Let's go back there, and with the clothes that we have, I'm sure we could find something. Catch them before they start moving. At least that district is not filled with people. At least not sick and innocent people.
Yeah. What do you know about his brother? Because if he's going to a hospital... maybe he's trying to get something that'll help him.
I don't think he can get something unless there's something there that we don't know.
Would he just attack a hospital?
No. It's usually about money. This is a weird choice. But then again, it wasn't his choice. It was this Fiona picking targets.
That's a good point.
Wait, why do they want them to attack the hospital in the first place?
We don't know.
Are they trying to make Supers look bad?
Could be a distraction. Be trying to pull Taj's attention away from something else that's going on. That's certainly what the Green Needle thing felt like. I mean, it was just such a pointless endeavor by a pretty pointless villain, let's face it.
Ah, I just got that, Minnie says.
Joseph takes a second and realizes, to his horror, that he has unintentionally stumbled into a pun.
Minnie giggles joyfully.
And I'm gonna blush. Activate
blush mode.
Unleash your blush powers.
Activate social anxiety.
Okay, so we should just go. Let's just go and try and find them and stop them before they do anything. What's the point of fighting them after the fact when they already have hostages and they have people around and they can abuse their advantage on everyone around them?
I mean, what's the point either way? It's very unlikely that we'll succeed.
Minnie is still hopeless.
Minnie, don't say that. Come on, we did really well against the cactus. Man, pointy, needle, boy.
I mean, as Joseph just said, he didn't have any powers, really. He wasn't strong, and I still messed up multiple times, and we still struggled.
So what are we going to do? We're going to just step out and just...
No, I think you're right. I think we should go and we should try, and we'll probably get beaten up again. And it's fine.
I get up. Yeah, well, if we get beat up, we probably deserve it. And I start walking toward the exit.
Oh my goodness. Right. Whoa, says Morgan.
Yeah. Do you have the guilty condition, Adib?
Yeah, for 3 episodes.
Plan. We're going to go to the start of his journey that I saw in my vision, right?
Yeah.
We're going to go in the jet. And Morgan hates this tension. She hates that everyone's so sad. And Minnie and Adib, she's going to try and comfort you. Shall I roll first?
Yeah, give us a roll to see how it goes, and then you can adjust your comfort to the level.
Is this affecting both of them?
I'll say if it's a 10 or...
I'll jump in. It'll be disastrous, but I'll jump.
Oh my god, I just rolled double ones.
Oh no.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, I was going to say if you got a 10 or a higher, then you could affect both of them. But yeah, that's not happening, I'm afraid.
Well, Morgan's going to try.
I lash out back at her. Like, what's the point? We had a plan. We went in and we screwed everything. We couldn't do anything right. So might as well just go and wing it.
No, wait. We did not have a plan. We went in and everyone just disappeared. And you just left me with this weak little man. And we should plan. What are we going to do?
I've told you. We're going to go in. We're going to get beaten up. And then we're going to tell whoever is in charge of whatever it is we're doing. Slight sideways look at Joseph.
Look, I'm not good at planning, but I think we should stick together, Morgan says weakly.
Sure, then follow us as we go to get beaten up. Come on, Adib. Like, Adib and Minnie knew each other before, right? And yep. They're in the same headspace. And they're like, just, yeah.
Parallel headspace.
With her angry friend.
Big swings. I'm going to go for it. Maddie, will you let me try?
Yeah. Do it.
I'll roll first. This is 100% like a, guys, wait.
If it fails, do I roll or take a powerful blow?
I think I do if it fails. This is going to come back on me. I get hit by you. Yeah, all right. So comfort and support plus mundane, which is good because my mundane just went back down to 0. This is for all the bananas. That's just a 6.
Oh, can't draw team for that.
Yeah.
I'd say that together we're quite a dangerous foe, but...
I do.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. That's 5 potential for me.
Yeah. Because in another circumstance, I would say Morgan can help. But since Morgan just failed, I think it's not going to happen, unfortunately.
All right, let's go all upset and angry and guilty and try to find the bad guy.
I think the failure here is Joseph. Guys, wait.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Morgan's angry. Morgan takes a condition angry.
Oh, wow. Everyone has a condition.
I don't.
No. Yeah, you got rid of it by squishing the tracking device. Yeah, I apologies. Yeah,
I'll take one now, though, if you like. I'll go hopeless or insecure from what just happened, though. It's infectious.
I think it's all right if Joseph is immune for now, but we'll see what happens later in the mission.
Boy, that is a completed potential track for me.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to do with my advancement is I'm going to add +2 to the label that my mentor denies, which is the mundane label. And that doesn't involve a reduction in any of the others, I don't think.
No, I think, yeah.
Incredible.
I think that since that's an advancement, it just happens. That's great.
1-2. +2.
So, yes, you begin your journey to, I'm going to say that there's a bus stop that Morgan, you spotted on the app that Poltergeist was using to plan his route. And so you can head to that bus stop. And if anyone wants to do an assess the situation roll, you can have a look around to see whether the number 12 door is anywhere nearby or if there's any clues as to where Poltergeist might be.
I'll definitely do a roll because I would recognize the door.
Yeah, I'd say you go for it.
Yeah, and if anyone wants to help, you can add a +1 to that.
I will assist by giving you a nice sort of panoramic camera view from the jet on screen so you can spot the right place.
Ooh, nice.
Yes, yeah. You can be hovering above the street and looking down at this rather down at heel.
Really inconspicuous, yeah.
Yeah. This rather down at heel area.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Oh, no.
Do I just get 1 from the assist?
Yeah.
Because basically, I got 6, but unfortunately, I have -1 superior.
Oh, no. So it's still a 6. Damn it.
So I guess I don't see the door.
Yeah. Unfortunately, at least from this vantage point, you can't see it. It may be down a side street. It may be hidden away slightly. So you need to park up and get out and hit the streets.
How much sooner, what time was Poltergeist due to get the bus, and what time have we arrived?
He was due to get the bus, I will say, at about 9:45.
It's near the hospital. Nice.
And it is currently about 8 p.m.
Morgan will say, I can't see it anywhere. It looks like the right area, but I can't see the door.
One thing that Minnie will be... I would suggest it will be happening for Minnie is that having kind of unleashed her mild telepathic powers, there's just a general openness to the buzzing of voices, and that is not helping her mood. So I would say there's an unleash your powers for she vaguely tries to hear, listen amongst the buzzing voices for something poltergeisty. Do not worry, this won't succeed. Being hopeless, she is -2 to unleash your powers.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. The dice tell a story.
If she does get it, it's going to be a complicated, vaguely in that direction.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm stretching the limits of telepathy here. But there we go. No, 7, but then that's +1, but -2.
Unfortunately, the crowding of voices in your head just starts to become slightly more unbearable as you try and sift through them.
Small potential and slightly more sulky.
So yeah, as you're hovering in this stealth jet above this bus stop, this very mundane and rundown bus stop, we're going to take a short break and be right back. And welcome back. So as our heroes are poised above this bus stop, waiting to see if they can find out where Poltergeist is there anything else you want to do?
Sulking. It's pretty full-on sulking.
Adib is going to try to look around, hoping he can find any of the companions of Lucas. Would that be assist?
Yes. Do you want to stay in the stealth jet, or do you want to get down and have a look on ground level?
I would go out. This doesn't matter anymore. I just need to find him quickly.
you can absolutely do an assess the situation roll. Does anyone want to help out with that? Does anyone go down with Adib, or does everyone just kind of go down?
Minnie's going to go with Adib. I don't know how helpful she'll be. I suppose she's there and she's looking for the people and the features that he describes.
I'll bring us down and hop out onto a, me personally, onto a rooftop. I'll be in full, kitted up, in costume. Yeah.
Excellent.
So I will make a straight roll, right?
Plus one from me.
I rolled a 7, and I have a plus one and plus one. That is a 9.
Excellent.
But because I am guilty, I have a minus 2, so that brings me down to 7.
But that's, yay! Woo!
Still a success.
I barely succeed.
We're scraping by. Come on.
I'm just going to say now that Morgan will stick with Zenith, unless Zenith tells her not to, just because we're on 2 and 2 then.
Yep.
Absolutely.
You want to split the party fractally?
It's all right. I'll jump in a vent in a minute. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Just one of those sky vents. All right. Yes. Adib, you and Minnie go down a side street and you are looking at the house numbers, and you stumble across a door with a number 12. And if you want to, you can take a photo of the door, send it to Morgan, and Morgan can confirm that this is, in fact, the door that you were looking for.
I'll just communicate or anything. We found the door.
Oh, great. Where are you? Oh, I guess we know. Zenith. Mm. I'm with Zenith. He knows.
Yep. Mr. Situational Awareness over here.
And I would not wait for everyone else to arrive. I will try to find a good place to look inside.
Minnie will hover to get up to, like, a first floor window to look inside.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's windows at ground level are closed up. But if Minnie hovers up to the first floor, looks in, sees just a load of, like, cat supplies, like cat towers and litter boxes, and there's lots of cats hanging out, and it's great. And then you hover up another floor.
Oh, wait, are there cats as well as the cat supplies?
Yes.
Okay, because, to me, immediately it was like, oh, this person has an online business selling cat supplies.
No.
Okay, cool. No, there's just a lot of cats and their supplies.
Yes, yeah. And if you hover up to the second floor, you see a rundown room with peeling wallpaper and a dingy mattress without any kind of bedding, just a blanket thrown across it and a couple of shabby pillows. And you can see a young man sitting on the edge of the bed, just kind of typing on his phone. He is not currently wearing any superhero garb. It is street clothes, it's jeans and a t-shirt with some kind of metal band on it. But you can see in the corner, draped over a chair, is a black skin tight suit with a green neon skull on it.
Minnie will, like, slowly descend like a balloon losing helium and report all of this to Adib, stressing the shabbiness of the pillows specifically.
Do you comment or just to Adib?
Just to Adib. Well, I mean, it's on.
Okay.
But it's just that she wants to, like, he's there.
Cool.
So she'll describe it.
Would I recognize the description?
Yes.
Particularly the pillows.
First the pillows, secondly the costume draped over the chair.
How shabby were the pillows?
Oh, yeah, there were like feathers bursting out of them all over the shop.
Ooh, that sounds ruffled.
Cats got at them.
But they were feather pillows, so they were quite nice pillows to start with.
Yeah, they were once, but we're very focused on the pillows for some reason.
So if I've heard you say that and you acknowledge that it's Poltergeist, Morgan's going to be like, wait for us, don't go in. She's really angry with you.
I turn off the comm and jump in.
Oh, he's doing it.
Oh, drama! Love it.
Just to add to that, I think, because it was happening in my brain and I was about to do it, and then Ahmed's just jumped right in. There was a moment for Zenith, like, okay, these guys are distracted. No one's in a good headspace right now. I was 100% about to be like, okay, Adib, you're the only one of us who can, like, talk to this guy, talk some sense into him. You've got this. You're, like, about to try a little comfort before you manage to do that. And I think he's just like, Adib. Adib, like, just turn to Siphon, just like...
I'd be using my ribbons to quickly go to the open window and just crash through it. And you'd probably hear the glass breaking as you're running in. Adib is in a point where this is all my fault. If I did not just take a serious stand against Lucas, things would never have reached this point.
Let's go.
Yeah, you crash in through the window and Lucas, your old friend, immediately stands up and looks at you and yells out, "I told you to stay away from me. Why do you keep coming after me?"
"Because you keep coming after people." I unleash my threats and just go wild.
Whoa, directly engage a threat, please, if that's what you're going for.
Yeah. All right. That would be danger, and I have a 0 danger. I got an 8.
Nice. Yes. So you can choose one of the benefits if you want to, but also you trade blows. You can get a hit in on this guy. So what does it look like as you engage Poltergeist in combat?
I am frightening him, trying my best. Like, Adib is gone mad right now.
Oh no.
So are you trying to tie him up? Are you trying to hit him? Are you trying to just yell in his face?
Adib is yelling at his face. He is unleashing his ribbons around him, and he's just fighting him, trying to pin him down.
Excellent.
And not give him any opportunity to fight back.
Just FYI, I assume Morgan and Zenith are running towards the broken window, and Morgan's going to try and enter, but you can insert that at an appropriate point dramatically.
You got to climb up 2 floors.
Well, we were on the roof, so once we hear the window breaking, I'm imagining a really cool dramatic shot of Morgan and I jumping off the roof and making our individual ways towards this window.
Yeah.
Me sort of swinging and flipping on stuff, and you, I assume, just kind of...
just running and jumping.
Big, strong leap. Yeah.
All right, so Poltergeist is definitely going to take the afraid condition as Adib is absolutely wailing on him. He's going to take one of the villain moves, lash out without thought of threat. So he's going to use his telekinetic powers to lift up a dresser from the side of the room and just hurl it at Adib. And I would like Adib to take a powerful blow, please.
Do I still have my condition, the guilty condition?
Yes, so you can roll plus your conditions mark. So it would be 2d6 plus 1.
And I got a 4 total.
Nice. On a miss, you stand strong. So yeah, what does it look like as this chest of drawers just slams into your back?
Because it's filled with cloth. Now, there is just pieces of cloth flapping everywhere around Adib's body. And it's just making him look a lot bigger than he is. And he's standing not on the ground, but pieces of cloth just lifting up more of a certain evil... 4 mechanical armed supervillain.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of.
So you've kind of taken the lesson from earlier,
yeah,
of like pulling the cloth in by accident and making yourself bigger, and gone like, what if that but effective for combat, and like bulked yourself up. That's so cool.
Yeah, so there's a cloth extending all from all over his body, just flapping all over, and he's shouting back to him, "These are not guards are being paid to protect and taking a risk. You're just going after innocent people now."
Yeah, Lucas yells back, You don't understand that everything is stacked against us. I have to do this to protect Felix."
I would continue to engage with him.
Nice. I would like to ask, so what's everyone else doing? Are you coming into the room?
I think Minnie's probably got...
Well, no, Minnie had gone down to talk to Adib. So it's possible that behind the two of you, given how quickly you've moved and like she was taken off balance, she now hovers up and is like glowing and yeah, is hovering outside the window.
And I would say,
no, she doesn't say anything. She just hovers ominously. She supports Adib. Adib's got this.
If Morgan could get there before Zenith a little, or maybe at around about the same time, Morgan is just going to somehow... flip into the room. Probably not flip. Like just grabbing handfuls of concrete to climb down into the room, just so angry.
I love the image of like we've got the window where Adib came through, and then when Morgan comes through, it's like you smash an even bigger hole.
Yeah.
Take some of the masonry with you. Like.
The window frame is done for.
We've done a lot of collateral damage in this episode. It's good.
Morgan is coming in and be like, "Adib, we're supposed to be a team. Why? I don't understand why we're supposed to be friends. All of us should be doing this together. And what she's going to be trying to do is shouting at Adib. But she just wants to, like, put Poltergeist to sleep so that we can continue our own little talk. So I guess she's going to have to fight through the ribbons to get there.
Yeah, please give me an unleash your powers to, yeah, first of all, unleash your powers to see if you can get there. And then if you can get there, we can do another one to see if you can effectively put him to sleep.
It had not occurred to me until this, like, how potentially scary Adib's powers are.
Yeah.
I make people naked.
Could it? No, that's very scary. Would it maybe be directly engaged? Or I guess, is Adib a threat to me?
Yeah, that's a question for Ahmed. Is Adib going to lash out at Morgan if she gets in the way?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, he wouldn't attack.
Yeah, yeah.
But just push them away, like, stay away. This is my thing. This is my problem.
Cool. Okay, yeah. So directly engage and then unleash. Perfect. So a bit of variety in the rules.
So I just rolled a 7 and I've got +3. So I got a 10 for directly engage.
Amazing. Oh,
so
yes.
So take something from them. I'm going to take Poltergeist from you.
Mm. Ooh.
And also impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition. I want to frighten Adib because I then get a +Doom.
Yeah.
Gotta play them dooms.
So do you rugby tackle Poltergeist and grab him down, or what do you do?
No, I think I just rip straight through and without really looking, like hand on Poltergeist's face and neck, put him to sleep. I'm not even concentrating on that, and I'm just shouting at Adib, like, we're supposed to be friends. Why? I don't like how we're all just not talking properly, and probably getting a bit, like, eyes start to glow because she's taking power.
Oh no.
Oh gosh, please let her stop before she hurts him too much.
We're all turning ill here.
Yeah, give me an unleash your powers, please. If you roll well, then you manage to control it well, and then if it's a low roll, then it might go a bit skew-whiff.
Okay. Oh, we're good. I rolled a 10.
Excellent. The anger kind of focuses you and keeps you in the moment, and maybe even because you're so focused on Adib and you're not self-conscious about how you're using your power and you're not worrying about whether it's going to hurt this guy or not, then it's more natural and it's more easy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Poltergeist just slumps back on the bed, kind of half on the bed, half not, completely unconscious, but still breathing, still absolutely fine, just asleep. And yeah, and you and Adib are facing off with Minnie floating ominously behind you.
I think I've actually cleared my anger there as well, because frightening... Oh no, it's hurt someone or break something important. Okay, no, I haven't. Damn it.
She's still very much angry.
Shaking,
right now.
And now I'm stronger.
Good. That's not a difficult combination at all.
No.
We're going to be fine.
Minnie and Zenith, what's your plan?
Minnie is going to, with a bit of a squeaky scream, glowing, hovering, bending light around her into strange and uncanny colours, yell, "Can all of you calm down? This would never happen on Specmarkalon. Everyone there, you know what you're supposed to feel, and you do the things that you're supposed to do, and you don't get angry at your friends. You just be normal all the time, and sometimes that's very good because no one gets upset or scary and you're never scared of your friends, and so don't do this." That's what she says. What she's trying to do with that is to provoke people into calming down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's using not so different after all. Describing the glories of your home like that, that's clear a condition, but I don't know if that feels like it lines up with that would make her feel less hopeless.
What you're describing fits more with comfort. Do you have an ability that lets you use another label for it?
No, that's not a thing that she does.
Do you have the best of them?
I do, but that's me telling them how they exemplify the best parts of Earth. I've just told you that you're all not as good as my alien friends.
Yeah, we're feeling pretty inferior right now.
You're telling us to live up to that.
I think that this is a bad attempt to provoke you all into calming down.
Sure.
But this is GM's decision.
Yeah.
Because what she wants is for everyone to stop yelling and be sensible.
Yeah.
Like people on Specmarkalon are all the time. Just so boring.
Cool. Yeah, let's make this absolutely a provoke someone role. and roll plus superior, and we'll see how it goes.
Oh, so she got a 4, and superior is plus 2, so that is a 6.
I'll throw a team on top of that. If we have any left, do we have any left?
Even though, considering the ramshackleness of the team at the moment, there aren't any team points available, you can always assist, so you can add a plus 1 if you want to help Zenith.
Yeah, I just can't think of what it is that I'm doing in this moment that might be supportive or helpful to Minnie, really.
There can be a failed attempt at assisting, in which I'm just like, yes, being sensible is what works. Calm. If you can't think of a way, then probably Zenith can't think of a way.
You can always just go like, she's right, just like back her up and be like,
I don't have a plus one. I think what, for the audience, we will see is, because like right now, like Siphon and the Turbine are like kind of almost in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we'll see is just from the inside of Joseph's helmet, you'll see him isolate probably just the Deebs at this point, actually. And Morgan's, because I can see that Morgan has gone like green eyes. We'll see him isolate their earpieces.
Ooh.
And there's like a button that could be pressed. He's not pressed it, but this is effectively taking the safety off something here. Just in case you guys get carried away.
What's that button?
That's it.
This is not character knowledge, so...
Yeah, yeah, I know. I don't... Oh, my gosh.
The button, I will say, has a little lightning bolt on it.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
If people want to describe how little they react to Minnie's attempt at conciliation...
In my head, Adib has back to the window, so isn't getting the light show, and all of this fabric is flowing, so actually there's no, I can't see you either.
Barely even hear, let alone see. Oh.
Yeah, there's so much flapping.
It's even worse now with the gloomy shadows.
Yeah.
There's drama.
Yeah, so I think at this point, as the threat of the mysterious lightning bolt button hangs in the air, as the fabric is flapping, as Minnie is yelling on deaf ears, we're going to end the episode there.
Uh-oh.
No.
In the midst of combat.
What's happened to our young heroes? What have we become?
They were so wholesome just a few episodes ago.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the hormones.
Episode 12 titled Now Villains.
Let's be bad guys now.
So yeah, thank you so much for listening to this absolute drama that is unleashed. And as always, I would like to ask our fantastic players where we can find them on the internet and if they have anything to plug, starting with Ahmed.
Hello, you can find me everywhere at Mr. Aljabri, mostly on Twitter, where I share Arab tidbits to be used for your tabletop RPG characters and world building. Just find the avatar with the turban.
Wonderful. And Pip.
Hi, I'm Pip Gladwin, and you can find me at Pip_Gladwin on Twitter or wherever good podcasts are made.
And Laurie.
You can find me at Laurie Tweets. I'm still reeling a bit. Sorry.
Fair. I mean, honestly, fair. And Lydia.
Hi, I'm Lydia. You can find me at Lyd Nicholas and in varying podcasts on podcast players of varying quality. I mean, if you want to download them from a place that has bad podcasts, cool. I respect your choices. Not everyone likes sound quality or whatever. It's cool. You do you. You do you.
Excellent.
Bye.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Maddie_abstract, where there are links to all the various things that I do. And we hope to see you next time on Chapter and Multiverse. But until then, from all of us here in the Space Between Worlds, goodbye.
Bye.
Uh-oh. Forever?
Chapter and Multiverse is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share-alike 4.0 international license. It is directed by Maddie Searle and produced by M. Lindemann, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner. The Eternal Tavern Keeper was played by Kareem Cronfley. This episode was edited by Nico Vatese, Tessa Vroom, and Maddie Searle, with music by Nico Vatese. Thank you for listening.